Amazing how music can set a mood, right? You're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. And if the background music is giving you nightmarish visions of a creepy carnival, then A, you're in good company, and B, sound designer Ian DiNaio has done her job quite well. That's some of the sound from Godlight Theater Company's production of The Pilo Family Circus, currently running at the New Ohio. I spoke with actors Lawrence Jansen and Gregory Cano after an opening weekend performance. Take a listen.
Just so we can get your names on the mic, can you say your name and your role in the show?
Gregory Cano, I play Kurt Pilo.
Lawrence Jansen, I played Gonko the Clown.
And Pilo is an important word because this is the Pilo Family Circus.
Yeah.
We're at the New Ohio. The company is Godlight. Are you guys both company members with Godlight?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So did you do the first iteration of the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. At the Ice House Festival.
Ice Factory.
Ice Factory. Ice Factory Festival, which was here, actually. And
recently, right?
July.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
The Ice Factory takes place in
July.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And the show was a huge success then, so we just bring it back for a quick run, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly
next
what
weekend.
It is. Yeah, 23 weeks. Yeah, we're going. Yeah.
It's oh, a good really? One. It is a good long run. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. For some reason, I thought you ended this weekend. Good.
No, we almost always do good long runs with Godlight. I've been with them for 11 years now, and it's always a nice solid run, at least whenever we can. So it's usually I'd say 6 weeks. So this is shorter for us, but. It's still, typically for Off-Broadway, it's a pretty good one.
This is a very unique and creepy and cool show to watch. Now, I've never seen anything Godlight has done before, but although I'm getting a little ahead of myself, just for the folks listening in at home, what is the Pilo Family Circus? How would you describe this?
Well, it's based on a novel by Will Elliott. He's an Australian writer, and... he apparently deprived himself of sleep when he wrote the novel, from what I understand, and he just rattled off this crazy story in a couple days, and then he went back and fixed it up. But basically, it's a story of this guy, Jamie, who is living a very boring life, and he runs into these clowns who are from an offshoot of hell, and they he catches their fancy, and they decide to bring him to the circus, where he... is put in clown paint and then battles with a clown named JJ, who's evil, and they battle back and forth.
And JJ essentially being himself.
Yes,
also.
Yes. So he's two parts himself, and he battles with himself and also to take down the circus with a faction inside the circus who's trying to escape.
Yeah. That sums up
the
plot.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
That is actually, that's a really great... That's,
yeah.
Good for you.
I started pulling this question out in the past few interviews. I'm like, man, you know, people are hearing this podcast. They have no clue what the heck this show's about if they haven't seen it. I should get everybody to give a quick summation. That's the best summation we've had so far.
Yeah.
But in that really great summation, this sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool and creepy show that is highly stylized. How was it to develop this show, being as a... So you're both actors, I'm glad we can get the actor perspective on this one, because this is a very different style of acting than what a lot of people would think. Like, oh, you're an actor. You know, they're not thinking that you're going to be on stilts or that you're going to be in creepy clown makeup, doing a lot of like almost like Spolin based forming things out of the air and playing with props that aren't really there.
Right,
what was the process like for you guys to develop this piece?
We didn't start with that work with this piece. This piece, in my opinion, is actually the perfect culmination of everything that we've been doing for 10 years. When I first started with Godlight, actually, when I first saw Godlight, I saw them do a play years ago. I think it was Poor Superman or something. I think it might have been an original. But it was just props everywhere, sets everywhere, typewriters and paper and refrigerators and everything. And that's all I knew was theater when I came out of school. So I was, okay, this is a normal theater company. As soon as I joined up a year later, everything changed. It had nothing to do with me. By chance, we just realized that the most important thing is the story. And all those props, they tend to just get in the way. Honestly, I think that's for film. You know, that's for that kind of, you know, for most... film, But for theater, your imagination is everything, and the story is the most important thing. And the stories that we're trying to tell, they're huge with information. A lot of them are adapted from novels. How do you get all that in? We don't have time for props. We don't have time for that.
You know, money. Who has
we don't have money for it, yeah. But honestly, even if we had the money, it really, the story works so much better without it. Because it's, if you really commit to it, you can form that stuff so easily, and people are intelligent. They really are. They know exactly what you're working with. If you're, you know, you
it's
really just...
beautiful when you guys would do the, you know, the hands. You kind of have a slight curve to the hand at the top and the bottom, and then you moved it to the right and the left, and you moved it to the top and the bottom. It's like, oh, we got a crystal ball. Boom, yeah. There it is.
It's not mime.
And everybody work, did know? It. Yeah.
You know, with mime work, the mimes try to show you what they're working with. That's the whole thing. This is the opposite of that. You just do it as if it really existed, and people know exactly what it is.
Greg's our resident space master.
Yeah, that's
when we come down. Comes down to it, we check with him to make sure it's realistic looking.
Yeah, I just hate seeing it when people try to, you know, make something that show the audience anything, whether it's as emotionally or you know, or just physically with creating like a coffee cup where someone picks up a coffee cup and clear it, makes it obvious.
Don't show, just do.
Just do it. Yeah. So, but anyway, we've been working on in this way for a long time, and in the beginning, I hated it like any actor would. The director says, "Oh, you know what? I'm like, it all started with this. We're doing The Third Man." And I was playing Martin's the lead character, and I was holding a glass of scotch, and I had nowhere to put it. And what are we going to do, bring a table out so I can put it somewhere? So the directors just said, just pretend you have a glass of scotch. I'm like, yeah, but I have to throw this in 5 minutes. He's like, well, then pretend to throw it. I'm like, okay. And I fought it, and it was ridiculous for about maybe a couple of days, and then eventually I just was like, what am I doing? How would I really hold it? And I just started doing that, and it worked great, and then I loved it. It freed me up. Next thing I know, I'm eating food. I'm like standing in a, you know, we did 1984.
Actually, doesn't have any furniture in his apartment.
Yeah,
this his whole done life.
With it. You should see my bed. You can't see it, but it's there.
He's in a mansion.
No. No, I love it. So anyway, this is just, I think, what all these shows, now we've done 10 years worth of this, and it's all led up to it. Now I don't even think about it anymore. Sometimes I forget that we're doing it.
It's really cool. It's something that I noticed right away, but it wasn't in the way. It was just a, you know, as a theater person myself, like critically, I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. They're doing it. Nice. It's not just that one prop. They're doing it for all the props. That's great.
Well, there's always like one or two props that are
the rubber
mandatory.
Chicken, the baby doll.
Because that's really not a prop. It's a costume piece. Because that's the thing. If it's costume, you know, sometimes there's a prop, but it's really costume.
So does the company, are you all just people who work with Godlike constantly so that you're building this sort of physical repertoire amongst yourselves so that when you do shows, you all have it in you that you do this space work?
One or two new guys.
Yeah.
So how is it like bringing in those new people?
It's different every time. Some of them struggle, some embrace it.
Yeah. We got a good group this time. Yeah. Some stick around, some move on. But yeah, it's good because there are a core group of us that you know have got it down and understand it, so it's easier to integrate new people.
In between shows, is Godlike hanging out together, developing new work? Are you guys constantly in contact, or is it all right, guys? Like you know, get on the email chain, assemble the crew. We're gonna do a show. How does it work? Do you kind of?
We're always in contact.
Yeah,
we're always at the bar.
Friends. Yeah,
talking
where the best theater gets done.
Yes. Yeah,
we're at the bar talking about what's next. There's always five or six things cooking. Joe's getting the rights for the next thing, the thing after that. I wish I could tell you what the next things are because I'm so excited about them, but I don't know if it's all locked down.
I know that.
So I should keep my mouth shut. But they're very excited about some upcoming shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. I want to just talk a little bit about the show itself. In my experience, whenever I've dealt with something that's been really heavy, I found that it sort of seeped into my life in ways that I never would have thought it did. I did Waiting for Godot, and I swear to God, once that show was over, a cloud just like lifted out of, like it was like I had been plucked out of that country road in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden my life was back. It was weird.
Yeah.
So this show is dark and very, like incredibly dark. How are you finding that it's influencing, or I mean, how do you get away from the darkness when you're not here at the New Ohio?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just was talking about that the other day. It's not like a conscious decision where I carry my character around with me or I'm, you know, I'm thinking about stuff all the time, but I'll just find a lot of the times whatever character I'm playing, it kind of coming through in my everyday without me really, you know, knowing it until all of a sudden I sit back and I'm like, wow, I've been kind of, you know, if I'm playing like a nerd, I feel kind of like goofy. And in this, I've definitely been erratic in some ways, and it's, you know, it's good as long as you don't let it take over. You know, a lot of, I think, like we said, alcohol helps you get away from it sometimes. I'm not trying to paint a crazy picture of yourself. We definitely enjoy a spirit from time to time. Yeah. And with this show, you kind of need it. But, yeah.
I think it's different for different shows. You know, this one, I'm okay. We maybe because we did it already, so... And we've been working on it since 2009, you know, so it's something that's always there, but it's so far, I don't know, maybe because it's been there for so long, it's probably part of my life, you know, in a way. So I don't really feel it too much daily, mm-hmm. you know, but when I'm going to the theater, it jumps right in, just on the, as soon as I get on the subway, because it is, it's really dark. You know, it's fun. It's also fun. I have a great time. I really do.
I was definitely the laughing idiot at a few moments. Oh, nice. So that was definitely my voice that was ringing out far too long than it should have been. Oh, no.
There's a lot of twisted things going on, and some people do not know how to react, you know?
Yeah, at first we thought this is going to be hilarious. You know, these clowns saying these crazy things, and the first night everyone's just sitting there with their mouths like, yeah, I was like, oh, I guess it's really pretty creepy when you think about it.
Yeah. Especially because we're talking about clowns. So many of my friends are like, I don't know if I can come see this, man. Clowns freak me out.
Yeah,
so,
I mentioned it to a friend of mine. I was like, I'm doing a show tomorrow night. You're doing it for the podcast. You want to come check it out? It's got clowns? They're like, no. It's got clowns? No way.
But none of the clowns here are clowns. They're not like trying to, they're not, you know, what's the bozo or whatever. These are freaking messed up.
This is like your worst fear of clowns.
Yeah. Tim Curry and It clowns.
Yeah, exactly.
So the last question I had and relating to the show, it was just kind of sort of sticking with me throughout, is what, you know, you can skirt around this, but I'd love to get your, at least something of an answer. What is the circus to you two?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a personal opinion thing. I'd say, to me, I think it's addiction. I think it's addiction and complacency. You know, I don't think it's real. Sometimes I feel like it is, but for the most part, I think that's what it represents. Like, it's a place where people go when they're lost. You know, it's a mindset. It could be anything like that. A lot of different things. You know, it's different things for different people. But it's definitely when you're off the path, you know, whatever that might be.
Off the path. To me. That's cool. All right. Yeah. Well, I love it because if it's complacency, it's almost like Jamie's... There's a duality there because it's the complacency that brings him there.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. That's some, man. My director mind's all like, all right.
Yeah, it's definitely a place where the darkest corners of people are unleashed and let out. You know, they're encouraged, and it's scary place.
That's one of the things that I found most intriguing about it is it felt I felt like everyone who watched this could have a place where they got that sense of ooh, there's a darkness there, and I know too much about that darkness. I don't want to know that much about that darkness. Right.
Well, I think that's why we can get away with it, because it's not real, you know. It's like in another world, but it's all real to all of us in a way, you know, if you see that. But it's, you know, the audience takes away, if they see that idea, then that's freaking awesome right there for me. I love that. Yeah. So
I think that idea is there. I think you guys got a really cool show here.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely.
And, for hanging out and doing the podcast.
Excellent. Yeah.
Thank you, Lawrence and Gregory, for hanging out still in makeup and hair coloring to chat about the show. You can catch the Pilo Family Circus through February 23rd, 2013 at the New Ohio Theater, 154 Christopher Street in Manhattan. Performances are Tuesdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. with additional Saturday matinees at 3 p.m. Check out godlighttheatercompany.org for tickets, and that's theater with an R-E. Thanks for listening into the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please do give it a like on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/GoCAShow. Follow us on Twitter @GoCAShow and rate and or comment on the show's iTunes page. As always, send any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, @GoCAShowPodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.